Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what is going on? Did you enjoy the Final Four over the weekend? Did you watch the South Carolina Gamecocks almost come back and beat Gonzaga after being 14 down? Boy, what quite a season they've had. And their season came to an end. And I think that you can look for this market rally to come to an end as well. I'm officially stepping up and calling the top. Now, just because I'm calling the top doesn't mean it's going down today. All right. It's just, I believe that we won't see new highs for a while. We could go sideways for a while. Our next will be to identify what's going to happen. But I think here is the way we look at it. If we go back and look at last week, we look at Wednesday, Thursday. I wouldn't say it was bullish action, but the markets were up, all right? But I think the markets were up for a couple of reasons. I think we had month-end, quarter-end marking. You know, certainly, if you looked at the stocks that were going up, it was Apple, Amazon, you know, all the widely held stuff that the brokers and the funds and the managers wanted to make sure they got marked high so they could make their portfolios look good. You know, again, it's the beauty is in the beholder, and we need to mark things to make sure that we get everybody happy. And of course, that's a bunch of crap. But that is, I think, more of what you saw. And I think it really proved itself on Friday as the market started to, you know, they tried to go higher, but at the end of the day, it was a really ugly close. And I think that's more of an indication that we aren't in such good shape. And I think if you take a look at the financials, which were the big leaders in this market, they have not done very well recently. And I think the other thing we really talked about and tried to drive the point home was that if we go back to March 1st, we saw the big explosion, okay, and what we called a blow-off. And what we said is then, as we said, now what we need to see is subsequent rallies cannot take out that high, and we need to see lower highs. And, of course, I think that's exactly what you've seen. So to me, all indications are is that the markets have put in the top, and now we have to see how they're going to react here. Because again, A, we don't predict that markets are going to go straight down. We don't think that way. I do believe that the markets are going to go through some pretty heavy selling. But I do not believe it will be all at once. And I believe there's no better evidence that if you just go back and look at 2008, yes, there was some big sell-off days, but there was many rally days as well. The markets do not go into catastrophe in one day as a rule. It did happen in 87, but those rules don't even apply anymore. And I think, you know, there's too many things to stop that. But overall, I think we are weak. I think you've seen the peak of optimism. And of course, you know, markets typically end. You know, we've got consumer confidence at, I don't know, all-time highs or 16-year highs. I mean, there's so many things that are so overwhelmingly bullish that all of a sudden tell you, well, maybe it's time. Again, because remember, you know, markets, like anything else, like moods, they have ups and downs. And we know markets are most of the time up, right, year over year. But in any given period, now when you've had just an unbelievable rally that you've had right now for 8 years, and then you take a look at this beautiful rally since Trump was elected, I mean, you would think that at some point someone would say, you know what? You know, I might want to take a little profit here. You know, and that's what I'm thinking, right? I'm thinking some profit taking is going to come in here soon. I'm also thinking that after the profit taking, there's going to be some ugliness. You know, we seem to forget the obvious. You know, one of the problems when markets go up every day and continue to be bought up is we often forget some of the real issues and some of the real problems that actually do happen. And we tend to like to ignore them. Now, again, we do not have good jobs yet. Now, you can talk about the number all you want. We do not have a good healthcare system yet. We do have a lot of promises. And again, I hope those promises get fulfilled. But, you know, you do have the swamp. And the swamp creatures are not so willing to change things. You know, maybe you put them on Obamacare. Maybe they changed their mind a little quicker. But at the end of it, all right, you've got people that are more concerned about themselves, which is a problem. And, you know, and they're more concerned about what they can abscond from Washington. And they're not really worried about you and me. You can think that they are. But if you just look at their actions, you know, and how they don't keep any budget whatsoever. All right. And they know that they can just really reach out to the Fed and say, hey, print us some more dough. We're a little short here. Those are the problems. We're not going to see 4% growth, which has been promised. We just had GDP on Friday. It was 2.1. Now, again, that's still a little backlash from Obama. But again, you cannot turn a ship as big as the United States around like a speedboat. You know, when numbers get so big, it's harder to move them. They sound bigger, right? But, you know, if you take, 10% of 1,000 and 1% of 10,000, you have the same number, all right? And you have to remember that when you're a big ship, you need a lot more numbers to go correct to get the numbers that they're trying to get to. Now, I'm not saying we'll never get the 4% growth. If we do some of the things and create some of the jobs that we've been promised, we very well might get there, okay? But until we get there, until we have the promises fulfilled, which is better jobs, which I think we can get done if we can get Congress off their ass, more growth, again, it goes back to Congress and the Senate, better health care, geez, it's getting monotonous, isn't it, to keep listening to the same why we're having a problem? Look, you've got Trump and his staff. Again, you like him or you don't have to like him. It doesn't matter. But the bottom line is Donald Trump is out there right now trying to work for you. And I don't care what his reasons are. You can do whatever you want. You can create any kind of conspiracy theory or whatever. At the end of the day, he's a business guy. And if this was his business, all of these changes would be in place and we'd be flourishing. But because there's so much BS that we have to go through every single day with all of these people in the swamp, all right, then and then you, of course, you bring in the left-wing media that continues to bash Donald Trump. It would be like they're begging for him to fail. And of course, if he fails, America fails. And I keep saying this, but I'm going to keep saying it, is that the president of the United States is bigger than one man. The objective of this country should be to be better for everybody. And having 47% of your country on some sort of aid program is not healthy for your country. And we need to get them off the company payroll and get them working, because there are plenty of jobs available for those who want to work. But unfortunately, we made the benefit package so good that there's no reason to go to work because you make the same money. Now, again, there's a problem there. But these are things that have been created by those in power. And, of course, no better than Bernie Sanders, who's never had a job in his life, but makes a lot of money, being a politician, promising you what you should get. At the end of the day, we need real jobs for real people. We need real work. We need real growth. We need to get things straight, get a real budget, and quit goofing around and move forward. Other than that, if we're going to continue with this nonsense every day, we ain't going nowhere. It's going to be the same old problems. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And of course, I'm going to step out here for a break. But before I do, let me remind you, LibertyTalk.fm. You can go download The Bubba Show every single day. And of course, The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, my new hit sensation, Bubba's Bottom Line, available to you at BubbaTrain.com. We're going to step out for a break. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show. Mostly an eight.
Welcome
back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the Jane King Hour, or at least the Jane King 12 minutes. And of course, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. What's up, Jane King?
Oh, just waiting for spring and, you know, getting ready. Kids are getting ready to go to spring break, and we're going to go to North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia. So we're going to do a little South trip for spring break. It'll be fun.
And have all three places where you do work so that you can write the whole trip off, right?
That's right. We're gonna visit some existing clients, hopefully get a couple more, and have a little fun in the process.
All right, so, Jane, you know, you and I talk about, obviously, a number of different topics. And, you know, this week, you know, we had the healthcare debacle or whatever you want to call it last week. But, you know, here's what I think what's wrong with healthcare in general. Now, my mom's in the hospital, and she had to have emergency hip surgery. And okay. So now, she, you know, she's 90 years old, so she's got to go to rehab mm-hmm. after she's done with the surgery. And you have to stay in the hospital. You have to be in 3 nights or Medicare won't pick up your rehab. Now, isn't there? Don't you see something wrong with that? I mean, if you don't have to be in the hospital 3 nights, why would they make you stay 3 nights just so Medicare will pick up your health care? I don't get that part of it.
It's all messed up. I mean, there's so many situations like that that just make no sense. I mean, I remember I've never fortunately up to this point in my life been in a hospital for very long, only when I had my children. And I remember when I got the bill and looked at the bill, it was like $25,000. And then, and I was like, for my dad, I didn't even have any drugs. We got there so late. And most of it was the room, but then they knocked a bunch of it off and renegotiated prices and ended up being like 10 or something. And I'm just like, this makes no sense whatsoever. Like, it just seems so convoluted the way all this is priced. And I mean, it just needs like a complete overhaul, and I don't even know how you begin to do that. I mean, without disrupting people's health care, and of course, that's not going to go over very well. But yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, there's a young boy in my hometown that had a hearing problem in both ears, and the insurance would only pay for one ear. And they're like, well, he can't hear out of one ear now, so we're not going to pay for both ears. That's ridiculous. I mean, so it's that kind of stuff that just Americans are so tired of. And but you got to have insurance. I mean, it's really difficult situation for people to be in. We don't have many choices. There's not a free market involved in health insurance. There's a kind of, you know, perverse incentives. So it needs, like, I wish that they would have passed this health care bill just to change things, but it really needs an overhaul. It's going to take a lot longer than that to change the whole system.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I said, I mean, women, you have a baby, they throw you out in 20 hours. And, you know, I mean, and why would you, you know, and we know the hospital's obviously much more expensive than the rehab center. And why wouldn't they just move it? You know, if you could move, why not get them out? So that doesn't make a lot of sense. And that's kind of this whole thing, as you just stated, you know, with these ridiculous things that they do and costs and things, you know, somewhere they should just revamp even the pricing from the doctors and the hospitals, because really, yeah. I think what happened is the doctors started overpricing because the insurance companies kept cutting them down. And it's kind of like, well, where can I get what I need? And it really does not make a lot of sense. And of course, we've seen over the last, you know, few days, you know, a lot of things going on. And what did you take? You have any takeaway from Flynn willing to testify with if he has immunity, which means he may have something there that actually needs immunity? Are you concerned about that? Does that mean anything to you?
Well, why would you ask for that? I mean, the only thing is this is such a hot button topic that his lawyer is just being overly protective just in case something comes up. Or, you know, maybe there's so much political fire around this that he could become like a victim. Just, you know, somebody that, you know, the Republicans and Democrats could say, well, look, we put somebody away in prison that was involved in this. And now let's move on to the next thing. So I think it's smart. And I'm very interested. I mean, his attorney says he's got a story to tell. And that's going to be hugely interesting when we hear that story.
It's definitely going to be interesting. And of course, you know, now that Gorsuch has been grilled with that. What was it? 300 questions or something like that for over 72 hours. I mean, it was like ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Does he get in?
I can't even imagine having the stamina for something like that. He's going to make it in, but you know, they're not going to make it easy. Chuck Schumer is not going to make it easy for him to get in. That's for sure.
Oh, that's your senator. That's another New York wacko. I mean, you know, of course we continue to see that. And, you know, of course we've seen, you know, markets, you know, the end of the first quarter going to be, you know, 5% gain or so for the equities and like 10% for the NASDAQ. You know, do we get to a point where it's too much, or do we just keep going up? I mean, of course, you know, you hear the experts, they keep saying, well, this time is different. You and I both know that that's not really the case. It's never different, but that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. I mean, is it different this time?
Well, we're on the longest quarterly winning streak in the Dow since 2006. So we're going to have, if this is going to continue, we're going to have to see some more progress, I think, in Washington, because a lot of these gains have been made in anticipation of tax reform and regulation changes and trade deals and things like that. And I know there's some executive orders that have been signed by the president, but tax reform is going to be super difficult. So, you know, as long as there's people in Washington who are not willing to work together and not willing to be reasonable, I think it's going to be hard for the market to keep marching higher. I mean, if we can get some real reform, I think there's more room to go to the upside. But I'm not hopeful because just the way things have gone over the past, I mean, I just can't believe this continues. Like, there are a bunch of children. They argue about this. It's unbelievable. They can't get things done. And the American public's just sitting out here like helpless. You're helpless watching all the arguing and all the kind of, you know, just nastiness that goes on. I just don't think that I wish that we were able to vote all these lawmakers out and just kind of start over and maybe get something done.
Wouldn't that be good? Now, see, that would actually be the best thing that could happen, because again, why is it that they don't have, like, for example, they don't have Obamacare? Why don't they have Obamacare? Why is it that they get their own health care program? I mean, you know, there's so many things that are illogical about this. Why isn't it that they could do that? They shouldn't be in the same laws that I live under. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, exactly. I mean, they'd find out how horrible it is. I mean, I actually talked to my congressman about Obamacare. I mean, I think you and I have talked about this, and, you know, they look at you sympathetic, but then they're like, move on to the next thing immediately. Meanwhile, I'm stuck with Obamacare, and I'm still stuck with it because they couldn't agree on something last week. So it's disappointing. Very, very disappointing.
Well, for you, it should be very disappointing, because it's obviously when you have young children, it's much tougher, because there are more visits to the doctor's office, you know, just, you know, the usual, you know, the physicals and the, you know, the sniffles and whatever happens, I mean, during the year. I mean,
they can't do anything. Like, they can't go to summer camp. They can't enter the next grade of school until they have a physical. So, I mean, they've got to get all that stuff, and we do it. You know, I mean, I do believe in preventative health care. I believe in, you know, catching things early and just monitoring the situation. And so we pay for it, but it's, you know, it could definitely be much better.
That, without saying. So what's, well, you know, listen, what can I tell you? But of course, this goes with a lot of things going to be much better. And speaking of much better in your ways of improving the world, the Jane King podcast, again, Financial Literacy for Kids. What's going on?
Well, we just released one this week. Some friends of mine live, you know, they grew up all over the world. So they have some interesting perspectives on how they grew up with money. And, you know, it's interesting, like Uganda, Dominican Republic, China. I mean, it really wasn't a priority, and they just talked about how they learned and how they were 4 years old, kind of running around by themselves and gained independence. I mean, very different. So they were interesting. I will be releasing another one next week, and that's with Ted Beck. He's the president of the National Endowment for Financial Education. He's on like a president's board for financial literacy. And he answers a lot of questions about why we used to teach finance in school and why we don't do that anymore. And he's just has a great historical perspective about this. So he's going to be good. And then coming up, Rachel Cruz, daughter of Dave Ramsey, is going to be on. So we've got some great ones in the mix. And we're going to get Bubba on soon, too. So we got to have you back. You're our first guest.
I want to, you know, come back.
Reoccurring guest.
I'd like to come back. I figured I got bumped. I got bounced. Anyways.
No. We're just... Just trying to mix it up, trying to get lots of voices in there. You'll definitely be back.
This is Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, the best checker out on air in your neighborhood. And Jane King, thanks so much. Always great to have you on.
Thanks, Todd.
Friend Jane King, who always takes care of us and brings us the weekly report from her things, and you know, always does a great job. And one of the things that's great about Jane is not only is she a New Yorker, but she's also a Midwest farm girl who understands all the industries and what it means to everybody. So make sure you try to check her out. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course. You missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you to the download for every single show, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, Bubba's Bottom Line now available at BubbaTrading.com. Go check it out. We're going to stop by for a break. Be back with Matt Demeter after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Margie said, what's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct. At Bubba@thebubbashow.org, we want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at Bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis. And Matt, I don't know. It's been, I look at the end of last week and it was pretty sloppy. And I know you have some feelings that there's maybe some room again on the upside. I'd have to disagree myself. I think I'm willing to call a top myself. What are your thoughts?
No, it was sloppy, and I was trying to get an idea of what, in particular, the S&P was trying to do, because every time I had, you know, some resistance lines, and I kept flirting with them, and you know, sort of pushing against them, and then just pulling back, and as I kept doing this for the last 3 days of last week, it just started looking more and more like a bear flag, and I think that's what it's turning into. So I really don't know that there's really that much more upside. One of the things that the index that has been the strongest has been the Russell 2000, which is also last week, which has also been the weakest for the past few weeks. So it's just, you know, rebounding as strongly as it fell. And it either hit my short-term targets at the upside or came very close on Friday. So we are back almost into a full short position back in the Russell 2000.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with your theorems and all that, but I was looking about a month or so ago or whatever it was. I said to my people, I said, okay, here's what I would expect. Okay, we're going to see the last gas rally, and that was, I think, March 1st. That was my opinion. Okay, and I said, now the real key is when I'm willing to call a top will be on the rallies that follow if they fail to take out the high. Or if they start to make lower highs, which I think they've now done, and so to me, the general markets are in trouble. NASDAQ, I don't know, that might go to Pluto. That may never go down again. But you know, the Russell is perfect. It's making a nice rally, which is you'd expect. I mean, you know, as you and I both know, bear market rallies or markets rallies in a downtrend are the most vicious and look the best. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel exactly the same. I think Russell 2000 at least has already made one lower high. I think this latest move up, I think Friday was, like I said, either hit a target or it came very close, and that target would be another lower high. So I think Russell is very clear as far as being in a downtrend. NASDAQ, like you said, NASDAQ went back up and pushed against its declining target line for us. I really don't want to see it go much higher, because if it can stretch a little bit higher, but if it goes much further, then it starts breaking the pattern, the bearish pattern. When we were talking about QQQ over the past few weeks, I've been saying, you know, look, I really wanted to see 132.90, 132.95, and I wasn't going to be happy unless we hit those levels. And that was a slowly declining target. And last week we got to 132.74, I believe. So that actually hit the line. That was good. That should have completed the pattern. So, you know, even when I look at NASDAQ and then QQQ, NASDAQ 100, you know, those look, you know, good to go to the downside as well. So I'm still in the bearish camp, and I'm with you on that.
No, I know you are. I mean, again, but you're very your style is very, you know, all subject to, I, you know, we'll call it math. I'm not sure how much math you actually use in it, but it's basically all called to, you know, mathematics of the markets, and you know, that's, you know, that's what people do. I mean, you know, everybody's got their way of doing, you know, technical analysis, and of course I have nothing wrong against it. I think it's fine, but from my standpoint now, and I think you agree in somewhat, that of course I do believe that the end is here, and I don't think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be like, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. Right, I think that we're going to have a market that's going to start to turn lower, and there's going to be some big rallies in between. And those rallies are, in my opinion, now all rallies, you know, back to, you know, levels that you define as resistance are sales. That's the way I would look at it from this point.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally with that. Yeah, it's now sell the rally instead of buy the dip.
Right, and what I think we'll see is a bunch of dip buyers still coming in, because of course we're still catching some of the late money. Margin debts are at record highs. Mm-hmm. But of course I think that you've said, I think now the commercials have a record short position in the Dow futures.
They do. And you know, on the drop of last week, you know, it was we were down at least a percent or two, you know, across the board. And they didn't cover. I mean, the commercials did not cover their Dow short position. They just held on. So, I mean, they clearly weren't happy with, you know, they weren't satisfied with their gains on their shorts yet. So they're holding on. They didn't cover anything. They actually added some shorts in NASDAQ. Keep in mind, though, when the COT cutoff, that was you know, Tuesday of last week, everything was near a low at that point. And so NASDAQ was also near a low. I know it's, you know, stronger the last 3 days of the week, but NASDAQ was at a low, and they were adding into weakness. They were adding shorts, NASDAQ 100 shorts, into weakness. So they're heavily short NASDAQ now, too, heavily short Dow. They're short across the board.
And heavily long volatility futures, right?
That's right. They're also heavily long volatility. They still remain above 100,000 contracts, which to me is a fairly extreme position. So they expect more volatility.
And of course, again, like I said, it's not going to be easy. And one of the things I think people get caught up in is, you know, they get either bullish or bearish. But, you know, you and I both know, I mean, even in 2008, you had plenty of time to exit, you know, before the full panic on the bottom. And I think that's where we get confused. I mean, that's where you're very good at, you know, watching your levels. And I know you put out some alerts last week. You know, we're going to buy our Russell down here. It hit 132, whatever it was, in change. And we're going to step in and cover here and look for a spot to resell. And that's where I think people get confused. They get too stubborn on one side or the other of the market and do not use the tools that we would figure there'd be a natural bounce at certain points. And, you know, again, the bear market rallies or market rallies in downward trending items usually are very strict and very hard and look great. And of course, you said, hey, we need to cover some here. And even the VXX, you were on top of that as well. So give us a little rundown of that stuff.
Yeah, well, it's like you're saying, it's really tough to be a bear because, you know, bear markets, you know, they're so difficult to manage because you do get those bear market rallies that are, like you said, are so vicious. So, yeah, I mean, I agree that when things get a bit oversold, It's a good time to lighten up, wait for a bounce, and then, you know, re-short. It's kind of the same thing as, you know, buy the dip on the way up. We just do the exact opposite on the way down. We'll buy the dip and we'll sell the rally. And it depends. If you want to just be a bear and just hold, you're gonna have to deal with, you're gonna have to, you know, you can do that, but you just have to, you know, deal with a lot of moves in your face, short term.
No, I mean, that's always the case. I mean, you know, if you're going to be stubborn about it, yeah, you can sit and wait it out. But certainly, and from my standpoint, you know, if you're going to try to hold out and wait for something, you're much better waiting out on the long side than on the short side.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, my rundown is that I think we're ready to turn back down again. We'll get oversold again. And then once we do, we're going to have to, you know, just do this again. We're going to have to, buy to cover and then wait for another short-term rally and then, sell again.
Yeah, I mean, again, and that's true trading. So what's your view on, oil had a little bit of a pop and of course, you know, to me, I thought that, 50, 51, to me, that's an outright sale now. And I know you might think it may have a little bit more room to the upside. I know that, you know, obviously your numbers are a little different. I'm much more, you know, straight at it. And you have a mathematical and a setup that you use. What's your look at it like on oil here?
Well, I don't have a necessarily clear resistance line right here. I think there is one. But I think we could pop all the way back up to I'm looking at it as we speak. I'm thinking maybe we could get up to 52, 53, and then I think it's I'd be ready to reshort. It's for me right now. It's in between levels.
Right.
So
right.
I mean, 50, it hasn't. I don't think it's bottomed yet, though. Let's put it that way. I didn't think we got down to a strong bottom.
I mean, 52 is certainly logical. I mean, that's where the breakdown came from. So that would be certainly a logical place. I just think that, again, you know, I would look for it to decline. But again, that's, you know, what we do. And, you know, it depends on how much punishment. But certainly I wouldn't be a buyer in here. And, I think there's a lot of issues. I think there's a lot of issues everywhere. And of course, I think the dollar rally, it popped a little bit at the end of the week. What do you think of the dollar here?
Dollar, bounced from a short-term level that I thought we thought would hold, and it's worked. I'm looking to reshort around 101, and we're not that far off now. We're about 100.5-ish around that area. So there's not a lot more upside, I don't think, in the dollar. When I look at the euro, which is, you know, sort of the opposite situation, I think it's headed back down to the 105, 106 zone. So we have a little bit further to go there, and that matches up with a little bit more upside in the dollar as well. So I'm looking for about 101 in the dollar.
That makes sense. We are with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his website and check out what he's doing. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, The Sporting Edge had Gonzaga on the money line, and South Carolina plus the points, and Oregon plus the points. So they did a clean sweep, and I'm sure they'll have a great pick for tonight's game. Anyways, it's The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and the Bubba Show expert. So, Matt, we've got, you think the euro's got a little bit more to come down now again, back down to that 106, 107 level. Is that what you're thinking?
105, 106. I think in there we'll probably get another bounce, and, you know, that will be where, conversely, we see the dollar, you know, peak out. I'm looking at, you know, indicators. It's now neutral again. It had started to get a little bit overbought, but that sort of is the logical area to expect some support to come in.
Now, in the metals, they've been unusually strong, really. And of course, we're kind of in gold. We're kind of, in my eyes, I look at kind of a pretty key level here, kind of get turned away again from the top end of the range. And I know at one point you were looking for, you know, a bigger sell-off. Is that still in your playbook, a much bigger sell-off to become a bigger buyer?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I still expect we haven't hit the final low yet. So I do think all, you know, previous lows are going to be broken over the past 2 years. Where we are now, we're just below the 200-day moving average. We've got about $10 up to get to the 200-day, and that's where you're going to see a lot of managed money buyers come in. And conversely, that's where, you know, the commercials love to play the managed money buyers. They'll take the opposite side of them every time. The commercials in the latest COT report, they did add to their short positions. They did in both metals, both silver and gold. In silver, silver's actually gotten above its 200-day moving average, and the second it did that, you could see a major change in the commercial short selling. I expect we'll see the same thing with gold. I would say if we get to, right around 1,300, I would expect that if gold has any higher to go, and I think it may, I wouldn't expect it to go much beyond 1,300.
All right, and again, I'm not sure myself. I mean, obviously. I'm really not, even though I would look at a normal chart and say this would be a great short right here, possibly, it just doesn't look like it because it just seems to be holding up. And I think some of that's got to do, not that I'm a fundamental guy, but obviously with everybody wanting to go cashless and all this new cryptocurrency stuff, I think it's making gold a little bit more valuable here just on front end anyways. But, as we look into... on Friday, we had the grain report, and of course, soybeans went down to my initial target, which was 940, and corn and wheat held and both rallied. What are your thoughts in the grain space here?
Well, they're all, as a group, they're oversold, and soybeans are very oversold on daily indicators. I don't think soybeans are done to the downside. I think they got a little more to go. I don't think corn is done either. For a short-term trade, I think they're oversold enough. You could probably get some bounces here. I certainly wouldn't be short. I wouldn't be selling. I wouldn't be shorting or selling into these moves, or at least in soybeans. Wheat still looks okay. It hasn't broken major support yet, and it may just continue to hold up. But soybeans, in particular, I think have further to go to the downside eventually. I don't think it's that pattern is complete at all. But as a group, they're getting, I'm getting more bullish because we're getting closer. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer to major, major target support.
And now you've always liked wheat, and wheat has really been the strongest. You still liking the wheat?
Yeah. Well, I'm still liking wheat. We're not trading it, but I still like wheat. And, year to date, it's doing the best. So and soybeans are doing the worst. But that changes obviously week to week. But still like wheat. If I was to be in this, if I was trading it, I'd be long wheat and I'd be short corn and soybeans.
All right, and I'm a fan of corn and I think soybeans. I called when beans were 10.50. I said they couldn't hold 10. They were going to 9.40. They hit 9.44 on Friday. So to me, that's pretty close. As you would write, near my objective.
Right.
But now livestock. Hogs continue to be under a little bit of stress, it looks like cattle might be starting to turn over as well. Any thoughts in those markets?
Yeah. With I'm looking at I would like the ETFs the best because they smooth out some of the roll problems. They're still there. They're still in there. But I'm looking at the cow ETF, COW, and I think it may be along a declining support that projects up to higher levels. So I actually think that we could see a little bit of chop to the downside in cow, and then we're going to get a run up to higher highs. So, but that issue there is that's a combo, that's a half and half hogs and cattle. So one of the two will have to outperform to make it go up, or if not both. I'm thinking, even though the commercials are extremely short cattle, I think it's cattle's the one that I think has a better shot of moving to the upside.
Really, and I think that cattle's gone significantly lower I mean, I've watched this movie before, and I know you don't use futures, but the contango formation that they're in, they're actually backwardation that they're in right now. I mean, you know, again, I know you don't use these charts, but, you know, April cattle's trading at 120 and August is at 106.
This is a low confidence call for me. I'm not going to, you know, put a whole lot of, I'm not going to trade this. We are long cow, but we're not, I can make an argument for either one. If you look at what the commercials are doing, like I said, they're heavily short cattle, but they are only like very slightly short hogs. So it could very well be that hogs are the, are set to outperform.
No, I mean, again, and look, one of the things is that, you know, that's what you do. You read the charts, and, you know, just because I say it doesn't make it gospel either, right? I mean, it's, I've been wrong plenty of times. I just, again, that's just what I see from using the things that I use to look at. And the bond markets, I look at the bond markets as they had that short squeeze, and I think, do you think they have more room to go on the upside, and how much more room do they have, in your opinion?
I think they could go. I mean, it also sort of depends on what we get out of stocks. If we get a correction or a bear market move, then I think they've got more fuel underneath them. I think in the short term they could have a little bit more of a pullback, but when I'm looking at the action over the past several days, it starts to look like a bull flag. So actually, I think in the very near term, we could go to the upside, and we're a little bit further out, we could pull back again. And then I think we're still waiting on a much bigger rally, which I think will eventually come. Right. So we're still long treasuries, just not as much as we were, a few weeks back when we were closer to the lows around 116 in TLT.
All right. Do me a favor. You've used two terms that listeners may not be familiar with, bull flag and bear flag. Explain them, will you?
Sure. Well, when you're looking at a bear flag, you're basically looking at a choppy pattern where you're going up, making slightly new highs and slightly higher lows, and it's just very slight. It's like a coil that has an upward trajectory, and those tend to, that's a bear flag that tends to correct to the downside. You tend to get a big move to the downside. Bear flag is the opposite. Bear flag's like a coil that moves choppy to the downside, and then it tends to spring up.
So typically you would see a bear flag in a rallying market and a bull flag in a falling market, right?
Yeah.
All right. So again, make sure, you know, because obviously we use terms and we have to make sure that we understand. So so what's your near-term expectations here? And we're starting the second quarter. We did have a little rally at the end of last week, but certainly the rally was very ugly. I felt it was very ugly, and especially Friday's close, I thought was brutal. So,
yeah, it started to show weakness right at the end of of Friday, and I think this week we're probably going to see more, you know, downside continue.
Yeah, do you think we'll get any strength with that? And, you know, I mean, volatility actually held up fairly well, basically. I think if you look at the month of March, I mean, volatility was flat with the market, you know, basically flat as well. So it's kind of interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I really haven't had a big move up in volatility. I don't know, when we're going to get it, but I think at some point we're just waiting. I mean, it can't stay down here forever.
It can, but it,
maybe it can.
It'll torture us forever. Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis. Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. It's always good to be here.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day. And, of course, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, our brand new Emmy Award. Well, not an Emmy Award winning yet, but will soon be. Bubba's Bottom Line can be found at BubbaTrading.com. That'll do it for today, everybody. Have a great day. Enjoy the championship game tonight, which I'm going to tell you that it's going to be Gonzaga over North Carolina. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Turn the noise down. Let this old
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.